Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Monday, July the 26th, is the planned reopening day for indoor dining. The head of the HSE, meanwhile, says the Delta variant is spreading faster than expected. The PRO of the MICA Action Group says he is cautiously optimistic following the third meeting of the Defective Blocks Working Group yesterday. And the Malinhead Coast Guard has warned that minutes matter when responding to a call. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, an 80-year-old man has died following a crash in Rafoe on Tuesday. The man was hospitalised as a result of the collision at Meadows Hill and passed away earlier today. Gardaí say inquiries are ongoing. Monday, July the 26th is the planned reopening day for indoor dining. Tánaiste Leo Varadkar has said that's the day government hopes indoor hospitality will be able to resume for the first time this year. Leo Varadkar has said work is underway to finalise the guidelines for that reopening.
You know, we're getting things in place. It looks like we're going to have an app reader that restaurateurs and publicans can use to verify that the COVID cert is valid and so on. And a lot of good work is being done on that. And we're kind of targeting Monday the 26th, really because it has to go through the Seanad. We need to allow the President time to consider the bill and sign it. And we need to get some regulations and a few things like that in place.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said there is an element of risk to reopening, but says it will be managed.
Well, I have concerns, obviously, with the Delta variant, of course. And I've said in the Dáil last week, there are risks. But Delta is now rising even prior to the opening of indoor dining and indoor hospitality. But it's a substantially different situation, obviously, to the Christmas period, in that the majority of people and of those eligible for vaccination are fully vaccinated. And we have very high numbers with one dose vaccination.
Northern Ireland has recorded more than 1,000 cases of COVID-19 for the first time in 6 months. 1,083 have been reported today, the highest since January the 13th. 81 COVID patients are in hospital in the north, with 2 in intensive care. Well, the head of the HSE says the Delta variant is spreading faster than expected. Paul Reid says about 1,000 COVID cases will be reported in the Republic today, the highest daily count since early February. This is partially due to cases of the more transmissible Delta strain in people who have yet to be vaccinated. Mr. Reid says officials are concerned about the increase.
And certainly the early indications were that we would reach about 1,000 cases per day towards the end of July. So it seems to have accelerated much quicker than we thought it would, frankly. So higher numbers of cases, higher positivity, and higher numbers of close contacts are accelerating it beyond what might have been predicted.
The Finance Minister has been told that the process in place for MICA-affected homeowners to apply for property tax exemption doesn't make sense. Under the current legislation passed in the Dáil last night, to qualify for the exemption, the homeowner must have had remedial works carried out in their property, remedial works that must be ongoing, confirmation of eligibility for the MICA redress scheme must have been received, or an engineer's report must be submitted stating that the property is affected by defective blocks. Donegal deputies Pierce Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin tabled amendments to the legislation calling for homeowners to be able to apply instead through a self-assessment format. Deputy Doherty told Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue that for many homeowners, they won't qualify for the LPT exemption because of the costs associated with applying.
When you look at the section in this bill, section 10D of the Act states that residential property damaged as a result of the use of defective concrete blocks in its construction will be exempt from the local property tax. But that is only if they meet certain conditions. And these conditions are set out in section 18 of this legislation. And it is if the property has been or is being remediated, or under section 10D1A, if confirmation of eligibility in relation to the property has been issued. Under subsection 10D6, confirmation of eligibility has the meaning given to it by the regulations that gave effect to the current and flawed redress scheme, where the applicant can only have eligibility confirmed once they have made an application to the local authority. That includes an engineer's report confirming damage caused by MICA and pyrite. Now, to spell that out to you, Minister, homeowners would be required to submit an engineer's report. That means forking out €6,000 for that engineer's report. I'm hoping, Minister, you can see that this situation doesn't make any sense, that requiring the engineer's report to qualify for the LPT exemption when the engineer's report currently costs several thousands is nonsensical. But it's not just that. But it's the time that it takes to actually complete stage one of the application process. The best guesstimate is about 6,000 properties impacted by mica in our home county of Donegal. Yet there's only about a couple of hundred applications made for eligibility of the scheme. Therefore, the other 5,000 and the other hundreds on top of that would be ineligible for this LTB exemption.
Well, in responding to Deputy Doherty, Minister Donoghue says the government is doing their best to respond to the difficult situation facing mica homeowners.
I don't want this issue being equated with issues of trust here. We understand the challenges that homeowners are facing, and I don't want it to be inferred in any way, Count Corla, that by not accepting this amendment that we in any way have issues about the trust are the really, really serious issues that are being raised here. There are reasons that I've advanced regarding why this exemption is structured as it is. It is based on how we have dealt with similar issues elsewhere. And as I said, there's a process underway to try to consider this that's due to conclude shortly. But I wouldn't like it to be inferred that in any way the motivation that is behind this is about questions of trust. We understand how serious this is. We're doing our best to respond to it.
Insurance companies and banks could be asked to make a voluntary contribution to the mica redress scheme. The housing minister says good progress is being made in talks on changes to the scheme. Homeowners in Donegal are looking for the scheme to cover 100% of the remediation costs. Minister Dara Brian believes financial firms could contribute.
Those who actually have a stake, because think about it this way, a lot of those homes still are mortgaged. We have banks who the state would be bringing the asset back up to full value. And I think we've got to look at the insurance companies and the banks and others.
Meanwhile, the PRO of the Mica Action Group says he is cautiously optimistic following the third meeting of the Defective Blocks Working Group yesterday. Among a number of issues discussed by the group set up by Housing Minister Dara Brian was the scrapping of upfront fees, planning exemptions for like rebuilds and accommodation fees for families who need to move out of their home while remedial works are underway. A request was also put forward by Donegal County Council for extra staff to help with the processing of the scheme. Michael Doherty told today's 9 till noon show that they will not be backing down until commitments are honoured.
We've got lots of history here, lots of meetings in Dublin over the years with Mica Action Group, and the feel-good factor that you get afterwards and not necessarily delivered upon. So we are naturally still quite cautious in any of our optimism that we're putting out there. But, you know, there were a few things that we certainly had asked for and looks like it's moving in the right direction. They're not getting an easy time, I can assure you of that. I think Paddy's video showed that as well. We're fighting our corner tooth and nail here. We haven't given an inch so far. We have a very strong starting position. That was a platform created through the massive demonstration in Dublin. And if it takes that on a wider scale and on slightly different angles, we're prepared to look at all of this. We're not walking away from the fight this time.
What needs to be copper fastened by the end of July to stave off any further protests?
I think we need the rubber stamped yeses as opposed to the hopefullys that we're hearing during the meetings on the smaller issues, on what I would refer to as the lower line fruit. You know, while that's all agreed in principle, that needs to be rubber stamped, and that's within their gift to give. There's some stuff won't be within their gift to give. That will go beyond the 31st of July. But we would need to be on the same page as to what that looks like. So there needs to be a document that reflects an agreed stance and position by the entire working group, including the homeowners, on the 31st of July on anything that's outside the housing department's gift to give. And that needs to be then expedited through the cabinet at their earliest convenience again, which we would hope to even pull this forward from September into August and get this show up and running. But if we don't see that happening, we're into the escalation mode beyond that. We can't be fobbed off this time, and we won't be fobbed off this time, and that's where the difference lies.
The Malinhead Coast Guard has warned that minutes matter when responding to a rescue call. It comes following a number of recent incidents where rescue services have been delayed in launching as a result of cars being parked in a yellow-boxed area outside the lifeboat station in Downings and Bombeg. Divisional Controller with Malinhead Coast Guard, Paul Gill, says people choosing not to use designated car parking spaces could be the difference in life or death.
Over the last couple of weeks, our Mulroy Coast Guard unit have been highlighting it on Facebook that people are parking in the yellow box at the Downings Pier. But it's not just confined to Mulroy. This also has happened in Bombeg in recent days as well, in recent weeks. When you look at where the cars are parking in the box, like there's designated parking spaces there, but the box is designed to allow the boat, which is 9 metres long, plus the tractor, so you're talking about 12 metres, that has to go in through a gate, swing around to reverse down the slopway to get it in. And if there's cars parked anywhere outside the parking spaces inside the yellow box, that's delaying the launch of that boat. And in our job, minutes matter. It might only be 3 or 4 minutes, but those 3 or 4 minutes could mean the difference between life and death. At the end of the day, when the volunteers are tasked, they're focused on rescuing somebody that's in difficulty. They don't have to arrive at a pier and then have to try and run around looking for somebody who's left their car in a box that shouldn't have been parked in. Running down a beach trying to find somebody with keys so they can get a car moved. You know, all of this is delaying the launch of the vessel, and that could potentially cause somebody's life to be lost.
Donegal County Council is being urged to ensure that the necessary infrastructure is put in place to prevent further flooding at the Ashfield Estate in Letterkenny. The issue was raised at the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District meeting this week by Councillor Jerry McMonagall, who was told that Ashfield is a private estate which hasn't yet been taken over by the council. However, Councillor McMonagall says that's not good enough. He says the council and Irish Water are both passing the buck, and while this happens, residents are suffering.
It's a very serious problem if you're one of the families who's been affected. This is not an incident that happened last week or even last year. It's been going on for a number of years now. And despite having different departments within the council look at it, there has been no remedial work carried out yet, and it's still very much a serious problem for the families concerned.
Is this one of those issues where you're trying to deal with the council and deal with Irish Water and it tends to get pushed from pillar to post?
Yeah, and that seems to be happening. They're kicking the ball between one another. Irish Water are saying it's not their responsibility because it's a private estate, and Donegal County Council is saying the estate hasn't been taken over yet. But this is not good enough. We have now, every time there's heavy rain in around Letterkenny, there's a number of houses which are under severe threat of flooding, and on a couple of occasions already over this last number of years they have been flooded, and not just with water but with sewage and all that comes along with that.
The council does have a unit that's looking into the taking over of estates and trying to progress that as much as possible. This would suggest that there's still a job of work to be done in that regard.
Yeah, there is a job of work, and there's obviously has to be resources put and money put against this. This had come about because there was a natural burn there and behind the houses when they were built, and the burn is still there for maybe 70 or 80 metres, and then it goes down into a 20 inch pipe which isn't sufficient or big, large enough to carry the volume of water. So it's something that can be remedied, and I'm sure that if the department's responsible will look at it, they will come up with a remedy, and some remedial work needs to be done immediately.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with golf, and it's day one at the British Open. Bogeys on the 5th and 6th have seen Rory McIlroy fall back to one over par at the Open Championship at Royal St George's. Dennis Kerwin reports.
Louis Oosthuizen leads the way on 6 under par after a superb opening 64. He leads by one from Jordan Spieth and Brian Harman, who both completed 5 under par rounds of 65. Mackenzie Hughes, Dylan Fratelli and Stuart Sink are next best on 4 under. Defending Open champion Shane Lowry was wayward off the tee all day, but still managed to fashion a 1 over par round of 71.
I say I played pretty average. I didn't play my best golf. Disappointed to bogey the last. I think if I had a par the last and shot level par, I would have been quite happy with myself. You know, I battled hard, I was quite proud of myself, and on to tomorrow.
Padraig Harrington made a shaky start. He was 3 over through 4, but he's back to 1 over after 14. Rory McIlroy birdied his opening hole, but has just bogeyed the 5th and is back to level par. Reporting on the Open Championship, I'm Dennis Kerwin, and our golf coverage is with McGurksGolf.com. Serious value and next day delivery on orders.
Thanks to Dennis Kirwan there. Moving on to Gaelic games, and Tyrone's Ronan McNamee will have a personal hearing tonight following his red card against Cavan last Saturday in the Ulster Championship quarter final. The Ahi Ironman was dismissed in the second half for a push to the face of Conor Brady. McNamee's case will go before the GAA's Central Hearings Committee via video link this evening. If overturned, McNamee would be available to line out in the heart of the Tyrone defence for Sunday's provincial semi-final against Donegal at Brewster Park in Enniskillen. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, it's a busy night in the Under-20 Football Championship in Leinster and Munster. And Leinster, defending champions Dublin, they face Meath, while it's Westmeath up against Offaly and Mullingar. And in the Munster semi-finals, Cork, they play Kerry at Parc Ó Cive in a repeat of the 2020 final. And it's Tipperary versus Waterford at Semple Stadium. All games throw in at 7:30. Moving on to soccer, and Bohemians, they have the advantage of an away goal heading into tonight's Europa Conference League qualifier. They take on Icelandic side Stjarnan in front of 6,000 fans at the Aviva Stadium. The first round qualifier is level at one each heading into the decisive leg. It starts at 7:45. And Sligo Rovers, they'll have to come from behind to secure their place in the next round. They're 1-0 down heading into the second leg with another Icelandic side, F. Hitch. They kick off at 6 o'clock at the Showground. Speaking on the League of Ireland chat, Keith Cowan, he's hoping that the local players perform well tonight.
Look, obviously we have an interest. Obviously Shane Blaney played in that game as well and did particularly well and has done really well since he's over the last month or so when he's been getting regular game. They've lost their captain Greg Bulger to a red card out there as well, so he'll be a massive loss for them for the game. But hopefully home advantage, you know, I know that the Icelandic side aren't setting their league alight. I think they're maybe 9th or 10th and a 12th. A 12-team league, so I think that they have a massive opportunity. Sligo really good at home. They'll have a bit of a crowd in there as well. Hopefully for it, they'll be looking to push on in that one. Obviously, the interest with Bowes as well. You know, Georgie Kelly, the league's league marksman. You know, they'll have their homework done on him. 12 goals in the league this season so far. So another Icelandic side coming over to Daly Mount. Ross Tierney getting equaliser for Bowes in the 63rd minute last week. So both those clubs will very much have their eye on the next round, and they'll be thinking if they, you know, prepare right, they're doing all the right things this week, that they should be able to get there.
You can hear more from Keith on the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Elsewhere, the three Irish Premiership representatives in that Europa action all have realistic hopes of progress going into tonight's second legs. Glentoran, they'll be first in action. They're away to Welsh outfit, the New Saints. They're starting at 6:15. The first leg there ended one apiece. Larne, they take a 1-0 lead into the second encounter with FC Bala as Inverpark hosts its first European tie. 7 o'clock's the start time there. And Coleraine, they play Bosnians Velez Mostar after losing 2-1 in Sarajevo. That one starts at 8 o'clock. In rugby, British and Irish Lions head coach Warren Gatland says Alwyn Jones is fully fit to play against the Stormers in Cape Town on Saturday. The Welsh captain has flown to South Africa to rejoin the squad after recovering from a dislocated shoulder, and he's been named on the bench this weekend. Robbie Henshaw returns from a hamstring injury to take his place in the team, while fellow Irish internationals Tadhg Furlong, Tadhg Birnie and Jack Conan all start. Finally for this evening, the Score programme is broadcast this evening after the 7 o'clock news. This week on The Score, presented by Oisin Kelly, we'll hear from All-Ireland winner and All-Star Frank McGlynn ahead of the Donegal-Tyrone Ulster Championship semi-final. And as a bumper weekend of championship action, Maxie Curran gives us his thoughts on Donegal's clash with Galway in the All-Ireland Ladies Championship, while Frank Craig of the Donegal News and Sean McCaffrey of the Northern Sound FM discuss the Donegal Monaghan Ulster Under 20 semi final. The Derry manager Martin Boyle speaks with Tom Comeck on the Leaf County's All Ireland Minor final with Kerry. And Keith Cowan, as you heard, joins us on this week's League of Ireland chat. That's all after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And for weather now, sunny spells this evening and highest temperatures of 16 to 20 degrees with a light to moderate northwest breeze. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, an 80-year-old man has died following a crash in Raphoe on Tuesday. The man was hospitalised as a result of the collision at Meadows Hill and passed away earlier today. Monday, July the 26th is the planned reopening day for indoor dining. Tánaiste Shilia Bradker has said that's the day government hopes indoor hospitality will be able to resume for the first time this year. Insurance companies and banks could be asked to make a voluntary contribution to the MICA redress scheme. The Housing Minister says good progress is being made in talks on changes to the scheme. And the Malinhead Coast Guard has warned that minutes matter when responding to a rescue call. It comes following a number of recent incidents where rescue services have been delayed in launching as a result of cars being parked in a yellow-boxed area outside the lifeboat station in Downings and Bombay. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, the dangers associated with working on a farm is why the IFA runs a Farm Safety Week each year. Next Monday starts the beginning of the 9th annual Farm Safety Week in Ireland and the UK. To find out more, I've been speaking with Turlough Slaney, the IFA Development Officer here in Donegal.
There are two forums next week that IFA have organised, the first being on Tuesday the 20th July at 7 o'clock. But of course the second one on Thursday July 22nd at 7:30 p.m, I suppose that's of particular interest to us up here because the speakers have all sort of been gathered from around Donegal, so I suppose we have a particular interest in that. I suppose look, just running down through them there with Evelyn McGinley, who is a vet at Mulroy Vets there in Milford. And Evelyn will be talking a bit about sort of dealing in a safe manner with livestock. Of course, with being a vet, she'll be out and about every day and seeing different setups and units around the county. So she'll be sort of drawn from her own experiences and giving a bit of advice on working with livestock, because that is still a very sort of concerning area in farming, where sometimes we can't let our guard down and an accident takes place. So we'll have Evelyn talking about that. We also have Gary Fisher, who is well known as a Chagas advisor here in Donegal. He'll be talking on this whole issue of the fact that farming is an ageing industry, and we have a lot of older farmers in the ranks, and that brings challenges as well, and can lead to accidents, sadly, at times on the farm as well. So Gary will be talking a bit about that and what can be done to try and reduce risk around the farm in that context. And then, of course, we have Trish Duke, who we've described as the mindset coach here. So Trish is based in Donegal, but she's very active on social media. She has her Instagram and Facebook pages referred to as BU or BU by Trish. And Trish is really dwelling on the whole thing here of mental health and the importance of looking after ourselves in that regard and our own well-being. I think it's really only in recent years that we've really honed in on this being a bit of a problem throughout the country, and only now I suppose we're acknowledging it and looking at ways to deal with it so that we're all in a better place mentally. And so those are our three speakers. Sorry, those are the three speakers we'll have lined up anyway, and we encourage all to tune into these forums, and they can do so by registering for them on our IFA website. So it's ifa.ie/FSW21. FSW is standing for Farm Safety Week, of course.
Grand. And that's next Thursday, the 22nd of July at 7:30. And the message this year is rethink safety. And I suppose that really captures the whole thing, because you know, most people know what they have to do, but it's sometimes a case of taking a step back and just giving that extra few seconds about something which can make such a difference.
Absolutely, Chris. And I suppose, you know, any of us that have worked on farms over the years, we're always pressed for times. There's always feels what seems to be 500 jobs ahead of us, and we're trying to cram them all in, and it's just taking that bit of time. And although it is eating into time and it's valuable, it's time that is so important, because it might just prevent an accident, or dare I say it, save a life if we do stop, rethink how the job can be done perhaps a little bit safer and done in such a way so that there are no issues later on.
One of the big areas of importance here is making sure that children get the message. And, you know, tragically, the figures show between 2011 and 2020, 21 children lost their lives due to farm accidents. And at this time of year in particular, there's a lot more young people out on farms.
Absolutely. And look, it is heartbreaking when we reflect on statistics like that. But the farm traditionally was always run by families, and I suppose, look, everyone that maybe has the bug or the disease of farming, as we say, they want to be involved, and that includes the children too. But sadly then we do have issues like this, so it is just so important to remember all the time that the farm is not a playground. It is a place of work, and it's a place of at times very dangerous work. So, you know, that needs to be at the forefront of people's minds all the time. I suppose just on child safety in farms, IFA has teamed up with different agencies and outfits around the country, and I think of the Agri Kids project, you know, and also the Farm Safe Schools projects and campaigns as well, where it's really trying to get into the minds of our youngsters sort of how dangerous a place a farm can be. Yes, it's great work to engage in if done correctly, but just really highlighting the risks and trying to get into their heads just how the work can be done safely at all times.
And another very important message that needs to be got out there is there can be a huge knock-on effect, because if somebody gets injured, aside from the actual injuries themselves, there can be financial implications if they're laid up for a period of time, and that can affect the whole family.
Absolutely, and even just the lack of labour that could lead to as well, Chris. You know, more people then have to be involved and muck in, and then that adds more pressure and stress to the situation as well, and that then inevitably at times can lead to more issues as well. So you're dead right. It's not just the accident itself. It's everything that follows after it as well. That can be additional problems. And as you say, we're collaborating with our fellow farmers in the north and over the water as well. And we're all very similar farming systems and setups. It's a way for us all to learn from each other and hopefully put things in place that there won't be as many accidents and fatalities in the future.
Now, also this week, we had a protest in Dublin in relation to forestry. There were a number of Donegal representatives up at it. There's a bit of a logjam in terms of licences, and this really is causing a lot of bother for farmers who are involved in forestry.
Absolutely, and especially for years past now, the encouragement was for farmers to diversify and look towards farm forestry projects, and now we have this homemade problem in the way. So it really is not acceptable at all that the Department of Agriculture has not got on to deal with this. So the IFA decided to take action on Wednesday, the 14th of July. And there was a demonstration made down in Dublin from Donegal. We had our own forestry officer, Ross Buchanan, down at it, as well as Charlie Doherty, who is well known in the forestry circles as well. I was down at it myself. And we really drove it home to them, Chris, you know, the issue. We met Minister of Agriculture and local TD as well, Charlie McConlough, at it. We made it very clear to him what the issues were. Minister Pippa Hackett as well was also there, as well as many other TDs and representatives as well. So they were left in no doubt at all just where the industry is at and where it's going if action is not taken immediately.
And in a nutshell, there is plenty of timber out there ready to be cut, but because Absolutely. Of the bureaucracy and delay in issuing licences, it can't be cut.
The backlog is huge. I've had a number of farmers in Donegal and further afield onto me, just giving me their plight and where they're at. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's all there ready to go. So the notion that timber is being brought into the country is absolute madness when we've plenty of a good product there ready to go, if only the bureaucracy and the red tape was sorted out.
And finally, are you hopeful that matters can be resolved in the relative short term?
Well, as I say, it's a man-made problem, and the department can sort it out if they throw the correct resources at it and get on with the work. So I'm confident now if we can really drive it home to the department, and that is absolutely what we have been doing, and it seems it can be sorted. But we need to keep the pressure on with this so that the industry isn't let go to the dogs effectively, and we can get a proper forestry industry in Ireland up and running again. Maybe just one final thing back on farm safety, Chris. Can I just quickly say that I would like to mention as well, Mabel Russell, our farm family officer in the county, who's done a lot of good work on farm safety over the years. She's worked very hard amongst some of the different agricultural cooperatives and stores throughout the county. And there are a number of stores throughout Donegal that during Farm Safety Week next week are offering discounts on health and safety products. And a list of those stores can be found on our same website I gave there earlier, ifa.ie/FSW21.
And that was Turlough Slaney, the IFA Development Officer here in Donegal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, July the 15th. The death has occurred of Jimmy Kern, 25 at Dunfield Terrace Derry and formerly of Curly Hill, Strabane. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Saturday morning at 11:30 in St Columb's Church at Chapel Road, Derry at 11:30, interment afterwards in Ardmore Churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house is strictly private. The Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Bridget McGinley, née Call, Ballymichael, Fanid. Remains will be reposing at the family home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Fanavolty, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on St Mary's Church at Fanavolty Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Fanid Day Centre, care of any family member or Eamon Scott, funeral director. The death has occurred of Willie Brown, Ochnakira, Rafo. Willie will be reposing at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from Ochnakira on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Junan's Church, Rafo, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on parishofrafo.com. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Michael F. Doherty, Glacken, Maharard, Church Road, Carndonagh. Remains reposing at his late residence at Maharard, Carndonagh. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and friends, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Mass can be viewed on churchmedia.tv/camera/parish of Carndonagh.